Pennsylvania, the tent of testimony, and even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So was always the cloud covered by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed in the place where their cloud abode. And there the children of Israel pitched their tents, the cloud abode. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening to morning, and that cloud was taken up by the morning, they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, or the cloud carried upon the tabernacle, laying thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, and by the hand of Moses. Amen. Now, in this scripture, we have a very simple fact. The cloud, the tabernacle, was what God had told Moses to make. Amen. God told Moses in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9, he says, according to all that I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and after the pattern of all instruments thereof, you shall make it. Amen. And God also said in Exodus chapter 29, verse 43, and he said, this is where I'll meet the children of Israel in the tabernacle, that shall be sanctified by my glory, and I'll sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation, and this altar I will sanctify both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. You might say, preacher, what is going on here? God gave instruction. And when God gives instruction, and when individuals in leadership follow the instructions of God, God says, I will not only give you the word, but if you fulfill the word that I've given you, I'm going to bless it. Amen. So we learn in Numbers that Moses obviously took the charge of the Lord, and the work was done. The tabernacle was built as God promised. Numbers in 9 and 15. On the day the tabernacle was reared up, when it was finished, God gave such specific instruction, so there would be no mistake on how he wanted it built. He said, I want this covering. I want this. This will be the breadth, the height, the width. And God says, when you obey my word, I will come. Amen. When you obey my word, I will dwell in this house. Amen. So we have the obedience first of Moses. He takes the word of the Lord, and he simply does what God tells him to do. So we find this pattern in Numbers that when God came, the people couldn't leave. Could you imagine God messing up your schedule, man? You come to church one day, one day this is the tabernacle, all of a sudden somebody's been obeying God, and the fear got so strong that you can't even leave. That there's a cloud of glory, amen. That God has the doors right, has the windows covered up, so that all you can see is God's glory. Amen. Let me tell you, if you want God's glory, be obedient to his word. So we have God's children. They base their life and their living and how they conduct themselves on God's glory. Amen.
Amen.
According to all that I've shown thee, amen. The temple, the tabernacle, I want to say the tabernacle wasn't anything beautiful to look at.
That's right.
It was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. The tabernacle, if you look at it from my life, like, what is that battered skin looking like a big mess? And I got news for you. Before the tabernacle was built, before the temple came, we had the tabernacle.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, we see sin as it is. Ugly. Not anything desirable. But we know that the tabernacle is simply temporary until the temple is built. But the scripture, and what I want you to understand here, is that when God led, wherever God was, the children were. If God said, okay, I'm going to be here in Columbus Monday through Friday from 6 to 5, you're going to be there from 6 to 5. If I want to get up and go, you're going to come with me. Because they do something. If you're away from the presence of God, where are you? Where are you? If you don't have the leadership of God, where are you? Amen. So it says, God doesn't inhabit his people with glory until the house is built. God had to give instruction, and God blessed his instruction. God kept his word, and in the morning, in the noontime, and in the twilight hour, there was a sign. In the Old Testament, when Noah built the ark, and after the flood came and gone, God put a frame on the tile to mark a covenant, to let them know that this is what I'm going to do. And in the Old Testament also, God allowed his people to be led by a cloud by day and by fire at night. 25 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you think God has forgotten how to be, you're wrong. You see, God didn't want his people to be mistaken. How many of y'all know that it only took the Israelites 40-some days out of being delivered from Egypt, they had forgotten who God was? 40-some days. Sometimes we've been married to the Lord for a year or two, and we've forgotten who he is. So God gave his people millions. This constant reminder, follow me. Here's the cloud, here's my glory, come on in. So it was always the cloud covered by day and by night. The cloud of God is simply God's spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the cloud works obedience, a lifestyle of following the cloud. You see, God doesn't guarantee resume. There are some that were there that might have gotten comfortable. They said, you know what, oh, the cloud is tearing. I've been preparing for a week. I'm going to go ahead and wander out, make my land, and get comfortable. They said, you know what? God had to come over here. Let's go ahead. We're going to lay back and we're going to relax. The cloud is scary. And then, you know, sometimes God will call something and we don't want to go. Because we don't want to leave. We don't want to move forward. But if you want to go forward with God, you've got to be willing to leave things behind. If you want to be able to go to the promised land, you have to be willing to go where God commands you, what he commands you. You see, the lesson to be learned is a whole moment to the people, follow God at his word.
Amen.
When God went somewhere, they followed. Not when God went somewhere, we took our sweet time and got around the gallery when we got there. If you are God's children, the worst thing you can do is not follow God.
Amen.
Because before you leave, before you know it, you're out in the burning sun because the cloud is gone. The covering is gone. You see, that cloud is a type of, I want you to understand, the cloud is a type of the blood, amen. You see, when you can see me, right? I'll be in fact. Imagine I was in the army and I got some smoke powder. And I went off all over my side. You wouldn't be able to pick fault at me. You wouldn't be able to see how bad I am. Because I was covered in the cloud, amen. You see, I'm covered in cloud so that people can't see. But if I get outside of God's plan for my life, everybody can see every one of my faults, every one of my failures. But if you're covered in God, they can't find fault because they go, I got some glory. You see, we are there is nothing glorious in me and you. But God says, you know what, if you'll be obedient, if you'll simply accept my son Jesus Christ, I'm going to come about you in glory so that they can't find fault with you. That when they see each other, when they're outside the cloud, they know who she is. Outside the cloud, Pastor Rollins, they knew you were a drunkard. Outside the cloud, they knew I was a drunk too. But when you come to Jesus, when you come into the tabernacle, when you come into God's plan, when you're willing to follow, all people can see is glory. All they can see is glory. You don't have a problem with your life? Well, your life is not under the cloud. Get under the cloud, amen.
Hallelujah.
You see, because there is where hope is. People will pick fault, they'll tear you down, but when you're in the glory of God, when you're in the love of God, when you're encompassed by God, they cannot see you, amen.
Amen.
The cloud, amen. So the people knew something. It says, God's moving. And I know who was with them. They were seeing me for Christ. I'm a very bright sheep. So, the scriptures go on to say, in verse 20, and so one of the fowls was a few days upon the tabernacle. According to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They knew that the only way to and fall into cloud, amen.
Amen.
Don't get too comfortable. No guarantees, brethren, and no warning. See, sometimes we expect God to show us everything. We expect God to be so kind to call us up 2 weeks in advance and say, by the way, I've got plans for you. I'm going to have you go over here to Nineveh today, and I want you to go ahead and tell them that I'm going to destroy them if they don't want to say. God's not worried about our time spot. He will call you when you least expect it. He will call you when you least expect it. Will you be willing to go? What he calls. As I said earlier, the cloud has a purpose. As you look at Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, it says this. I have brought down the thick cloud by transgression, and as the cloud by sins returned to me, for I have redeemed thee. Meaning God promised that if you'll simply enter in to his tabernacle, if you'll simply enter into his word, that he will do the rest. He'll redeem, he'll sanctify, and he'll restore.
Amen.
You see, Jesus is the cloud. You see, we don't realize the fullness of Christ because so many times we are not with. So many times we have no passion for Jesus because we forget. We look at him as the tabernacle. As I said before, when you look at the tabernacle, there's nothing good in it. Sometimes you look at Jesus like, man, yeah, he's all right to get saved. You know, I go to church, but, you know, this Christian life is pretty boring.
Yeah.
You don't have that attitude sometimes. You don't have to look at Jesus as the tabernacle as some external appearance and say, well, there's nothing glamorous about Christ. There's nothing glamorous. I'm just looking from the outside. I don't want to go in where I can see the gold.
Amen.
And sometimes we'll just look, and that's how we'll live our whole life. We'll look at the tabernacle as if nothing is important. It's just an old junky house, it looks like. So I'm not going to pay too much mind to it. Oh, that church has leaves growing up around it. There can't be nothing going on good there. But I have news for you. You have to enter in to see the glory.
Amen.
Turn with me to Luke. Chapter 9 and verse 28. And I want to show you what's inside the tabernacle. I said, Jesus is the cloud, Jesus is the tabernacle, Jesus is the covenant, Jesus is everything. And in Luke chapter 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have this experience that's named in the book of Luke, also in Matthew, and also in Mark, I believe it. The scriptures read this. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it says this, and it came to pass, about 8 days later after he was saved, he took Peter and John, speaking of Jesus, and came and went up to a mountain to pray. Now I'm sad, I don't want to find a mountain, man, but God is good. And as he prayed and speaking of you again, the fast of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there crossed them 2 men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, what he should accomplish in Jerusalem. But, amen, there's a big but in the scripture. It says, but Peter, and when they were with him, were heavy sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and there met 2 men that stood with him. Imagine this. Here God goes up to a mountain, and all the while he brought his chief disciples with him. He brought Peter, he brought the pastor, he brought the elder, amen. He brought those that have some sense and be awake to the things of God. And here Jesus just praying away, and the church is speaking.
Yeah.
Here Jesus just interceding on behalf of God the Father, and here we are the saints, just sleeping to me. Not just sleep, the scripture says, heavy with sleep. Many of our sleep was so closed off. That could be a no lie. This week, I came home from work. I want to talk about heavy sleep for a second. I left the house keys with Jenna. And I came to the house, opened up the garage door, knocked on the door, the door was unlocked. So I went to the front of the house. I rang that doorbell probably 50 times. I called the house phone 20, 30 times. And I just started knocking, 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 and to no answer. eyewitness Rodney was breaking in the house as he finally awoke from his sleep. Now talk about heavy sleep. God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to get your attention so that you can open up the door of your life so that he can move and come in and do some great things. But in this scripture, we have a situation. Dead asleep. How can this be? These men are right with Jesus in our dead asleep. What it says in verse 32. And verse 33, when it came to pass, they finally woke up. And I've actually verse 32, but Peter, and when they were with him, were in a heavy sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory. And it came to pass as he departed from Peter said unto the master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles for us, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed him. I want you to understand, when the cloud comes, it's a signifying that God has built something.
Yeah.
You understand, when the cloud comes, it's signifying God has built something. And it's welcomed and it's honored by God. So here we have the ordination of Christ. They went up on a mountain, and God says, you know what? You see Moses? You see Elias? And they said, guess what? None of these are the tabernacle. I am not praying the cloud for them. Hear ye him. There came a voice in the cloud. God came, God spoke, and he said, Jesus is it. This is your tabernacle. There's no need for an altar. This is your altar. This is the sacrifice. This is his glory. Look at the tabernacle revealed. The scripture says he was so white, not a tailor. Could you imagine just looking into something that would scare you half to death? Whiter than this sheet of paper. The glory, because when you went into that tabernacle and you pull back the skin, you can see God's glory.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing enough to open up the book, the Bible don't look like nothing to read. If you're not willing to open up the book and turn the pages, you can't see the light. You can't embrace the light. You can't have God indwell you because there's too many to look in.
Yeah.
God has to wake us up.
Yeah.
Here, God has missed it. Could you imagine I don't know if you ever seen the Matrix in the bad comparison. But in the first Matrix, when the one finally became the one, and he went to that one guy, that one bad little agent, and all this light started beaming out of him. Remember that very end? Imagine Christ saying, Isaiah said about me, that there's no beauty in me that men should desire me. Meaning I don't look like a hub, that's what Isaiah said. Jesus didn't look like a fashion model. He wasn't your Rico Suave. He wasn't someone where the ladies would say, oh, look at him, he's so hot. He was despised from this.
That's because his glory has not yet been revealed.
Well, you see, while we are sleeping, God's glory is being manifested all around the world.
All around the world.
If we have a message today, why is God not moving today? God is moving, amen.
Wake up.
The lesson to be learned is this. In Christ is the tabernacle. In Christ is the cloud. In Christ is the temple. In Christ there is glory. In Christ there is leadership. In Christ there is blessing. In Christ there is hope. In Christ is your life revealed. The finished work, amen. The tabernacle was but a temporary home for God to dwell in. The tabernacle was nothing beautiful to look at. The tabernacle was a type of the hidden glory that Christ did himself, amen.
Well,
Luke, Peter. They were heavy with sleep, and then were awake, and they saw his glory. And the men stood with the church. They're trying to wake up. Christ is beautiful, and Christ is glory. As I said, and I want you to really get this. The tabernacle was God's first house, but not his last house. The tabernacle of the Old Testament was God's first house.
Yeah.
But not his last. Peter has this friend, the Bible says, of God. His name is David. And David had it in his heart to build God a more permanent dwelling. Amen. David had it in his heart to not have to have God move around, but he wanted to build a house for God, for God to say, this is your house. And we find that in Chronicles chapter 2. This is where the Lord is speaking to Solomon, and Solomon is trying to build a house for the Lord, a house for his kingdom. Then David said in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 22:1, David said, this is the house of the Lord thy God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons and people brought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for nails and doors and gates. Verse 22 in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build the house of the Lord of God. And David said to Solomon, for after me it was in my mind to build a house into the name of the Lord my God. For the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great war. Thou shalt not build a house to my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, I will give him peace and quietness in the Israel of his day. He shall build a house to my name, and shall be a son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his throne as king forever and ever. We have the second call. The first time God spoke to Moses directly. The second time, when God said, you know what, it's time for my glory to be revealed. He said to Moses, build it or let it. He tells David to tell his son that I want you to build a house for me, not just any house. A house so big, a house so great, that all nations will speak of me. That all nations will know that I am the God of Israel. So we have this commission. And the promises were fulfilled in 2 Chronicles chapter 5.
Yeah.
And verse 1 it says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver and the gold, and all the instruments he put among the treasures of the house of David. And the Levites, which were singers of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and their sons and their brethren, being arrayed with white linen, and having cymbals and palfreys and harps, stood at the end of the altar, and with them 120 priests. And 2 Chronicles 5:13 says, and it came even to pass, that as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound, and be heard in praising and thanksgiving of the Lord, that they lifted up their voices, the trumpets and cymbals, and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever, and the house was filled with the cloud, even so the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Much work was done. Sacrifice was made. But in the bottom line, if you are willing to give your life to God, if you are willing to lay down your wants and your desires, and you're willing to do what God has commanded, there is no way in heaven or hell that God will not bless the work of your hands. It was so strong that it says in 2 Chronicles 5:14 that the priest did not stand minister. By the reason of the cloud, the glory of God has filled the house.
Amen.
In order for God to come here,
yeah.
The instructions have to be followed.
Yeah.
In order for God to do what he wants to do, we must simply obey, amen.
Amen.
You want to see God's glory in your life, can you say amen?
Amen.
You want to see God work out miracles in your life, say amen if you do.
Amen.
Amen. Are you willing to go when the cloud says go? You see, the biggest hindrance in our Christian walk is ourselves. We get too comfortable with the way we're living. We get too complacent with the way we are. We think that God's going to bless us just where we are. And the scripture says, you follow me, I'll bless you where I am. Because God is the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. If we want God to change our life, we have to be willing to follow. And the tabernacle goes to the temple, and then the temple was transformed into you.
And
know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, in whom God dwells. Will you allow God's glory to be known to you in your life? It's not a question of, is God glorified? It is. Every last person that's saved has Jesus inside of them.
Right?
Every last person that has ever come into Christ has that seed of faith inside of them. And we might look horrible, we might look bad, but if you'll simply allow God to peel off you, to get rid of you, His glory will come.
Thank you, Lord.
His glory will come.
Hallelujah.
But if you're not willing enough to let God work that work in you, and not willing enough to let God take you to the next place, then you'll be stuck in past blessings. You'll be stuck with a past testimony. Oh, God did this for me back in 1786. Woo! When I got saved, God did this for me. Glory. In 2008, what's going to be there? Follow the cloud, and you'll follow the cloud by day and by night, and do what God says you will be done to you. You'll be blessed. In so much that your life will no longer be about you, it'll be about the glory. That was the whole point. Our entire existence is not about what we can obtain in life and what we can get and how many possessions we can get hold of. It's about the faith. Can you say glory to God this morning? Glory to God. Can you just, have you ever been to church and the Spirit of God is so thick to pain in the face? Have you ever been to church when it didn't matter, preached an hour too long? Have you ever been to church when we couldn't even desire to leave because the power of God is on you so strong that we weak? It's because the foundation is laid that Christ is crucified. If you can understand that Jesus is the tabernacle, He's the tent, He's the temple, He's the great I am, if you're willing to put some faith into Him and you say, you know what, God doesn't look so beautiful right now, but I'm going to go through the desert, I'm going to go through the flood, because I know there is glory to
Hallelujah.
I'm not saying it's easy to be saved. I'm not saying you'll never get tired of serving God, because it happens. Sometimes we get dry. Sometimes we get worse, and that's when we continue to have a long day today. But the Lord is going to bring us all the way up on Mount Everest. Going to have us hiking. Don't have any bottled water in us. Don't have any toilet streets. And He's going to get us all the way up on this mountain. He's going to bring us all the way to the promised land. And there He's going to bring us the Lord as a retreat. They were tired for a reason. God had worked some work, amen.
Amen.
But you have to wait. Having learned that time experience with God is not His plan for your life. Timing, God's got more in store for you than what you can ever think. He has more in store for you and your children than what you've even thought of yet. He's got another chapter to your book, young lady. Jenny, He's got another testimony for you to see. He's got more plans for you than you ever even know. You think that you're just going to be able to stick? God is going to cause you to praise. God is going to give you a reason to shout. God is going to give you a reason to have a testimony. God is going to give you a reason to want to come to church. He's going to give you a reason to want to tell people. Because when you see the glory, you can't help but shout. You can't help but say, oh my God, He had to tell Peter. He said, don't tell anybody what you've seen. Don't tell them what you've heard until I've already gone. Jesus is going to feel free to tell. You don't even tell people about what He's done. I saw Jesus on a mountaintop. You know that one that didn't say was cute? Well, out of nowhere, He turned into the bright and morning star. Out of nowhere, He became the tabernacle of the temple. Out of nowhere, Moses will be placed. Elijah will be placed. Isaiah will be placed. Jeremiah will be placed. All the Old Testament placed. He said, and guess what? They were all coming to let you know that I'm here. But thou came. God said, this is my son. Hear ye him. This is the crowd. And when the voice spake, it was done. so strong that he came back down in the state of Christ. The Sanity.
Yes.
He got front first.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go into the
tabernacle. Amen.
Amen. Go into the tabernacle. Let God show you the foundation, the altar, all the things you put there to put you.
Hallelujah.
Once you enter in, I'm not talking about a servant. A servant comes and they go. You hear about having the 7 feet? There was a lame man, he walked. They'll come and serve. Say, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty nice. Here comes that woman that has cancer with God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty nice. Let's go see. Hey, what happened to this? Who are you talking about? How'd that person get healed? How'd that person get up to walk with a sucker? You have to enter in. Mainly, and don't enter in. Many believe in Christ and don't fight the good fight of faith. Many will come to Jesus for a miracle, and as soon as they get it, they've observed, they've had experience, but they have not entered in.
Well,
they might have said, Lord, Lord, but they didn't enter in. Because once you enter in, you are changed forever.
Hallelujah.
Once you enter in, you are changed for life. There's no going back. And if you don't believe me, how are you trying to go back to sin? And there's no feeling of gratification. Because once you have been changed, you've been rearranged. You've been given a new name. It's not even proper for a child of God to live a life of failure. But it's only normal. It's only correct for you to be an overcomer. Because once you've been in glory, the devil can't stand to do nothing to please. Once you've been in glory, that Satan put 10,000 to flight. Not feel the power, amen. The power is still my God. Jesus is coming. We've got to go. And we've got to bow down like the kings, amen. How do you think that happens when one Christian, one believer puts 10,000 to flight? It's not because of you. It's because of the glory of God.
Thank you.
2 Kings chapter 6. When the old prophet was the one that had the well of God. Elijah has been telling the good king about what his enemy was going to do. And the enemy got word of it and said, the prophet Elijah shall be king about your plan. Let's go get him. So they can't go and support their things anymore. And the servant of Elijah woke up in the morning and looked out. And all around, the army had come. They couldn't escape to the left. They couldn't escape to the right. And the servant tells his master, says, alas, master, what shall we do? And then, Elijah, he didn't even wait. Elijah didn't wake up with fear. You see, the devil will try to fear you if you not believe in God. He'll try to take away your testimony. His daughter was younger in the name of God. He hadn't been able to see what God was going to do. But he said, he didn't talk to our young believers. Sometimes he tells me it's better than me, I'm kind of hard. He has all the fear sometimes, but he ain't giving you for your fear. That's just one that still can't fear me. Because once you know that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a love and a power of a sound mind, you can't help but believe it. And when you believe it, it's just how it is. As you believe, it's how you receive it. Amen.
Amen.
But the moral of the story, he says to the servant, he says, Father, open his eyes. He says, Father, open his eyes that he might see. And the servant's eyes were open. And though there was an army against him, he saw the flaming, fiery chariots of God all around him. Elijah said, those that be with us are more than they do with them. I'm talking about the cloud. You might not be able to see your spiritual cloud. We always want to see.
Hallelujah. Smoke.
When you walk on your job and people say a cuss word and they look at you and they look at your elbows, they're not saying sorry because of you. They're saying sorry because of the cloud. They're saying sorry because of the glory of God before you. They're saying sorry because you say, help me, because there's these holes in your eyes.
Hallelujah.
Let God do it. Don't be afraid, little kids. It's not hard. Little kids can have a fire on them just like a growing dog. If you'll simply let God do it. He gives you the instruction. He didn't leave one spot out for Moses. He wrote every instruction, every breath. He gave them the material. And all Moses had to do was do it. Jesus has said, go ye therefore, and all worlds tell. That's it. If you tell, if you build, if you go, I'm going to do the rest. And on the day that the temple was built, the cloud came. On the day that you finally go ye therefore, expect the cloud to come. Well, but it's not going to happen until you go. Don't expect people to come to church just like you pray, being a lazy Christian. Oh God, please touch my family. Put it on their heart for that people are not going to come even if he says go. Come out, put your hand on them and say, you know what? I'm not asking, we're going. I'm not asking, we're going. There's going to be a wedding. I'm not asking, you're going. I'm not asking, I'm not putting out invites, you're going. You're going to understand and say, we're going. We're going to church. We're going to Jesus. We're going inside. You don't have to know the way because I'm taking you there. I don't have to give you directions. I'm taking you to my church. And I'm not calling first. Because I'm expecting God. You want to prepare your heart for me to knock and for you to open. No word said. In the car. We're going.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Don't try to be lazy.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, let me take this weight off, please. I don't want to go to jail, Lord. Just take it off. Let's just cut it off here, Lord. Go ye therefore to the weight room. Go ye therefore to eat some fruits.
Praise the Lord.
Don't play games with God.
Hallelujah.
Moses had a lot of work to do. What read that Exodus? All this stuff. Build the temple. Millions of dollars spent to do the work. The blood was spilled. The table was paid.
Hallelujah.
The foundation was laid.
Hallelujah.
You know the end. That's all that's worth. The cloud is coming. I don't know about you, but the cloud is coming. Preachers, why is the cloud coming? Because the temple, the tabernacle, has already been laid. The tabernacle, the temple, has already been built up. And his name is Jesus. His name is Great High Priest. His name is King of Kings. His name is the Lord of Glory. And if you are willing to let God do it, the cloud will come. So thick. Could you imagine Dr. Wells not being able to get up to me to turn the music on because the cloud is there?
Hallelujah.
It's so warm, it's so strong, you can't even move.
Hallelujah.
Let God do it, amen.
Amen.
Ask it all to come to this church to be ready to work. And we're ready to get out there. And we're not going out there asking, we're going out there, hey, guess what? It's 9 o'clock Sunday morning, we're out on the street. Bringing people to church. Where are we going? You'll know the answer.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's any here today that have not entered into the cloud, that don't know Christ, that don't know Jesus, church is a place for people to get saved.
Amen.
Outside is a place for people to get saved. But if you don't know Jesus in your life, you can come forward. We'll ask God to open up your heart and so that you receive Jesus. It's simple. Just believe he died, let it rose again. Amen. And through him, we have everlasting life. For those of you here that are not saved this morning, you may come. Heavenly Father, Lord, this congregation that you have, Father God, this is your people. And Lord, only you know how to motivate and how to cause them to go for it. And God, we give our lives to you this day. We give you our strength, our soul, our spirit, our mind, so that we might be a blessing to your kingdom. Father God, we ask the cloud to come so strong that when people drive by, they can't help but be compelled to come in. And Lord God, let us not ask, but let us go forth in boldness and simply lay hands on those who you've called us to bring. And Father God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We know you have great things in store. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray.
Amen.
Follow the front. We'll come to the front now.